You'll find an authorized version of the English Bible in front of you in the pew. If you pull it out and turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we're going to read some verses from that book tonight. We're reading at the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of sinners. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own infallible book for his name's sake. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. If you turn with me in your Bible to the 4th chapter of the book of the Revelation, you will find there in the 1st verse, the first door that opened to John the Apostle to see the vision of this great book of Revelation. This morning I delivered a message from this pulpit on that first chapter with the Revelation, chapter 4. I want to come tonight to chapter 5. The open door of heaven in chapter 4 revealed something. The wonderful throne of God in heaven. And it was an enclosed throne. It was circled with a full rainbow. It was circled by 24 elders, and it was circled by the four beasts or four living creatures, the seraphim and cherubim of the angels of heaven. When we turn over to chapter 5, which we read tonight, this vision of the Apostle John is continued. But the tinge of great sorrow comes into this vision. In chapter 4, it is all glory and praise and majesty and might and dominion and power. But in chapter 5, the prophet of God weeps. Why did he weep? Because he noticed that in the hand of God, upon the throne of God, there was a book. That book was not opened. And that book couldn't be opened by any man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth. None were able to take the book or even look at its dazzling message that was both on its inside and outside, for it was a book of parchment. And the apostle wept, not just a few tears of anguish, but he wept much. He sobbed bitterly, because there not only was silence, but none were to hear the message of the book. It was a sealed book. Then suddenly, one of the 24 elders left his seat and came to the apostle and said to the apostle, weep not. Dry your tears, for this book is going to be opened. The seals are going to be broken, and the message of the book is going to wing its way throughout the whole of creation. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book, to look thereon, and to read the message of the book to all creation. Well, John immediately looked to the throne. He looked to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He looked to see the root of David. But he didn't see a lion. Nor he didn't see the root of David. He saw in the midst of the throne a lamb. Verse 6. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. But that's impossible. How could a slain lamb, a dead lamb, stand? But you see, there is a miracle here. And the greatest miracle that God ever accomplished. The greatest miracle that ever dazzled the minds of angels and dazzled the whole creation of the earth was what? Was the miracle of the Lamb. The greatest miracle that God ever did was to produce a Lamb to be the substitute for sinners, to bear their sins up in his own body on the tree, and crucified through weakness, he was to gain the mightiest victory that ever could be gained, to loose the chains, to break the imprisonment of sin in the lives of sinners, to make them fit for heaven, to wash their sin-stained garments in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. So there was a miracle in the midst of the throne. And that lamb in the midst of the throne did something. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He claimed sovereignty over the book. He claimed the right to break its seals, to declare its message, and to send to all the world his gospel, the good news of everlasting life to all who receive him as their Savior and their Lord. And immediately he touched the book, something happened. The four beasts and the 24 elders, verse 8, fell down before the Lamb. And this time, they didn't like the previous chapter, just say something. Their saying was turned to song. And the music of heaven was heard. Every one of them with their harps and their golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. In the previous chapter, they only said something. But in this chapter, they sing a new song. A song that had never been heard before. A song whose message was old but ever new. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The culmination of the great victory of the cross. Jesus Christ died, but Jesus Christ is risen again. And then when we come to chapter 6, the Lamb started to open the seals. And we read that when the Lamb opened the first of the seals, the first of the four beasts said, "Come and see." That beast was like a lion. We read in chapter 4. What happened? There was a white horse, and he that sat in him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This Lamb has no weapon. There's no arrow mentioned for the bow, because the victory has already been won. This speaks of the post-Calvary work of the Blessed Son of God. Today he rides triumphantly to the men and women who have rejected him. He calls them by the gracious promise of the gospel. He conquers their sins. He loosens their chains. He sets them free. He is the great triumphant victor of the cross. And except you taste the victory of that cross, except you partake in the experience of his salvation, except you wash your robe and make it white in the blood of the Lamb, you will have no part in heaven. Your part will be in hell forever, as this book makes perfectly clear as we go on to read its pages and it unfolds its message. Yes, he's conquering and to conquer. But that's the first seal. Then the second seal is open. And the second beast says, "Come and see." And there went another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And one of the worst enemies of man is war. Taking peace from the people. Taking the delight and joy of rest from the people. And turning the world into turmoil of conflict. And that red horse and its rider is marching over and riding over this universe of ours tonight, when we have war on every hand. Just the same way as the conqueror and the one who brings peace to all men. So that red horse is bringing war to all men. And the great sword is not in a scabbard. It's drawn, and the blood flows, and the world groans under the turmoil and strife and tribulation and wars and death that are upon us. But then
The Lamb takes the third seat. It's interesting to note that there is no definition of what the third living creature is. It doesn't say what he's like. It just says he is the face of a man. And when he opens the third seal, there is a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances. And a voice came from the midst of the four beasts around the throne of God. A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This horse is the horse that balances the economies of men and nations in the pair of balances. And of course, there's not only real war in our world today, but there is the war of the economies of our world. And we can see the clash between North and South, and the clash between East and West. This book was written long before the present nations of this world were even thought about, because God wrote this book. Prophecy is the great attester to the fact that God knew what was going to happen and recorded in his unfailing word, so that men and women might know what is happening in this world on which they tread. And then there's something more. He opened the fourth seal, and I heard the fourth beast say, "Come and see." Listen. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with it. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Death and hell to claim a quarter of this world's inhabitants. And we can see the increase today of the ravages of death and hell amongst us. How true is the book? How true is the Savior who alone can stop the ravages of the red horse, and of the black horse, and of the pale horse? And then we come to the fifth seal. And when the fifth seal was opened, a vision was given to John. And what was the vision? It was the vision of the martyrs of Jesus. For those who followed Christ in the darkness, and in the days of persecution, and in the days of trouble, they were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, which they held. And they cried. At the beginning of the chapter, John cried. Now the martyrs in heaven, with their souls under God's altar, where they're safe to the day of glory and the day of final resurrection. And they cry, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The martyr rule of God's church is not completed. There will be a continuing increase of that martyr rule, because this prophecy tells us that God will not avenge his people until those that have to die for their faith in Christ and their faithfulness to their testimony in Christ, they must die so that the martyr's role can be completed. We see day after day the martyr's role being added to it. And then we come to the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And where will the great men of the earth be then? Where will be the leaders of the pagan world that's all around us? The Bible tells me the great man and the rich man and the chief captain and the mighty man and the bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. When the whole world flees, from whom? From the wrath of the Lamb. But does not this chapter tell me that the Lamb rides conquering and to conquer? It does. Is there pardon for those who trust in Christ? Christ, there is pardon, sweet pardon through His blood and through His death and through His sacrifice and by the power of His bodily resurrection from the tomb. But those that refuse, what shall they say? They shall say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? There's a final balancing day coming in this world. There's a day of judgment coming in this world. There's a day when God will deal with all rebellion and all ungodly wars and ungodly fights, when God will come to establish a solid, unshakable peace, and when God will deal with those that refuse the pardon but choose rather the perdition of their own sins and their own wickednesses. The great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? If that great day of God's wrath came now, where would you be? Would you be lost or saved? Would you be prepared for heaven, or would you be fitted out for the darkness of hell? Those are the solemn questions we all must ask one another. No church has any power to save men. No ordinance of any church has any power to save man. The only thing that can save men and women is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby you must be saved. You need a personal, living experience of the risen Son of God in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. And I would have pleaded with you tonight, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Say, Lord Jesus, don't let me be lost. Thou didst die for me upon that cruel cross, and didst shed thy rich, precious blood for sinners. I am a sinner. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in the precious blood and take my sins away. I trust that you will be found tonight at the cross in the place of pardon, in the place of a new life and a new hope and a new peace, and in a place that will lead you to the peace and happiness of eternal heaven with Christ in the glory land forevermore. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. Write it upon all our hearts. May we not, O God, say no. May we not tonight, O God, put off the call of the gospel, but may we come and put our trust in thee and find peace and life everlasting. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for coming to this earth, for being made in the likeness of sinful man and for sin in the flesh, for going to that cross of shame and there to bear our curse and endure our hell and drink our torments. And we thank thee that thou hast finished that great bloodshedding, and thou art risen from the dead, and thou art alive forevermore, and thou art in the throne of heaven, and thou art calling us to seek thee, and thou wilt save us. May there be hearts seeking tonight in this house, and may souls pass from death unto life, and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. Spread thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. Then at our Father's blessed abode we'll all arrive in peace. And the people of God said, amen and amen.